Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler came upon him and was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal and took him to an inn and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.'" Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? The scholar of the law answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Mm-hmm. Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're all here because we want to get to heaven. We have a great God-given desire in order to live forever in that kingdom of love with God, with all the saints. Today, Jesus describes the path there. Many of us may think that it's a little too hard, but God will give us all the help we need to meet the standard. But we have to, as St. Paul was telling us yesterday in the second reading, think correctly and then do according to that correct thought. So the scholar of the law approaches Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus quizzes him first. He basically gets the right answer theologically. He says, "You've got to love the Lord with all you have, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus would basically give the same answer elsewhere. Man had gotten it exactly right. He knew what he needed to do. But Jesus also recognized, looking into the man's heart, that this man was going to struggle putting that into practice. That we're not saved by what we know. You don't have to get a PhD to enter into heaven. Jesus said to him, "Do this and you will live." Not just know this and you will live. Then the man wishing to justify himself. This is an important point for us to grasp if we're going to understand this. Ask the question, "Who's my neighbor?" Because built into that question is, "Who's not my neighbor?" Right? We've got to care for some, according to the Jewish mentality of the day, but we're not going to care for others. For the Jews, normally it was, "I care for the fellow Jews, I don't care for the Samaritans, I don't care for the Goyim, I don't care for the Gentile. They're not my neighbor. Their bodies are just straw, according to the mentality of the time, fit for the fires of Gehenna." So Jesus gave one of his most famous parables, one of his most moving, about the Good Samaritan, to describe what we need to do. that we need to become neighbor, not just to some, but to anyone who's in need. That a Christian is one who doesn't just know the truth, who hasn't just received good catechesis, but one who lives the truth, who does it. A Christian is one moved with compassion. A Christian is one who crosses the road. Jesus' story couldn't be more graphic. Man was dying on the side of the road. A priest was heading up to the temple. It was probably his time for the temple service. If he had touched a man who was dead, he would be ritually impure and have to go through all the baths in order to be able to go in. For all we know, he could have been late. For all we know, he could have been very old, and walking up that 20-mile hill from Jericho to Jerusalem was quite a strenuous effort. Whatever, he saw a man dying and thought that there was something more important to care for a man left in a ditch. Levite, one of these members of the priestly families, likewise, was passing by that same road, heard the man's groaning, and did absolutely nothing. Finally, a Samaritan came. Now, the Samaritans were absolutely despicable to the Jews. Today, it would be like if we said a member of Al-Qaeda was walking by, or a child molester was walking by, or a pimp drug dealer was walking by. And he was the one who drew near, bathed the man's wounds, carried him to an inn, sacrificed his money to care for him until he would return. That's what Jesus is calling us to do, to draw near, to care, not because they're one of us necessarily, but because that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. When we were in the ditch due to sin and dying forever, Jesus crossed the road all the way from heaven. He himself nursed us with his own blood, nursed us with his teaching, nursed us with his care, brought us to the inn which he had founded, which was called the church, gave the church all it needed in order to be able to continue to care for us, and then promised that if we overspent, he'd pay us back on his second coming. We were that person on that ditch, in that ditch. And Jesus told us, don't forget, just as I have done for you, you go and do likewise. Everyone is your neighbor, anyone you find in need. This has been the great message of Pope Francis in terms of his charity. He says that we have to overcome a globalized indifference. He says many times when we're walking by the side of the road, we look and we have a little bit of compassion and we say, poor fella, I hope somebody helps him. But a lot of the times we don't stop because we don't want to be inconvenienced, because we don't want to get our hands dirty sometimes. But he says we need to cross that road. He says we're battling a globalized indifference, that we're so used to people suffering that a lot of the times it doesn't impact us the way that it ought. But he says that the kingdom Jesus has come from heaven to earth to establish is a kingdom of good Samaritans, a kingdom of this type of compassion that impels us to cross that road and care for the one in need. The other day, I was convicted. I had a conversion. I was driving back from the beatification in New Jersey, and I took the George Washington Bridge. And there was a slow thing in traffic as you're going through the various merges on the highway. There was a man there on the highway kneeling with a little cat and a sign. And I'm like, God help us. Hopefully nobody gives that man anything so that it incentivizes his risking his life to come out to the highway and beg there, where there are so many other places to beg. Just the way the traffic worked, as I'm sure you've been in traffic jams before, some of the times you're totally stopped, and other times you start to pick up for 20, 25 miles an hour, and then you have to stop again. So I was looking at this man from a distance, and then all the traffic started moving. It was moving about 25 miles. If we had stopped right when he was there, I hopefully would have responded differently. But as I was walking, I saw this man's filthy, very thick glasses. I saw just how true this man was, that he was a beggar. I started to think, this man was kneeling on the highway. How absolutely desperate does somebody have to be to kneel in that side strip on the highway? And that with his little cat, and I just said, probably a stray cat, the only person he's able to love or be loved by. And I wept for about the next 10 minutes because of the way the traffic worked, that I just couldn't stop because we were going 25 miles an hour at that time. What a poor guy. But my first thought was not to care for him, because I wanted, and I was hoping, everybody else would teach him by their stiffening him not to come out on the highway and risk his life. I think we all have those moments sometimes that the Lord gives us a real opportunity for conversion. On Saturday, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And his conversion happened when he dropped a coin into a leper's hand because he couldn't touch him. He didn't want to touch him. Then he was convicted and he turned around his horse, he dismounted, and he embraced the leper. And that was the real sign of his conversion, when he became a good Samaritan for real, when he started to follow the Lord on that path to heaven, which is the path of Jericho, the lowest place on earth, to Jerusalem. And when we're on that path, we need to be looking for those who are on the side of the road. Today we have three quick applications about how to be a good Samaritan. Pope Francis says that the greatest need of all is a spiritual need. It's not just the material needs that we need to care for, because the greatest poverty is those who don't know God. Those most on the peripheries, abandoned by others, can be our next door neighbor, where there's somebody, he said, who doesn't even know how to make the sign of the cross. And today we celebrate the feast of Blessed Marie-Rose Durocher, Canadian foundress, Sisters of Jesus and Mary, who taught the faith, who tried to remedy this ignorance. People given up their whole lives in poverty, chastity, and obedience in order to care for all the ignorant Samaritans who are around, who don't really know the Lord. Likewise, we need to have that same passion to spread the faith. Second, we celebrate St. Bruno, the founder of the Carthusians, which for the last 900 years has been praying consistently for the needs of the whole church. The first way we become good Samaritans is in our prayer, where we overcome the temptation to indifference. We start to think about all those who are in dramatic need. During these days, we should be praying constantly for those who are suffering with Ebola. We should be praying constantly for our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq, in Syria, and in Nigeria, in Kenya, where they're attacked by the Boko Haram. We should be praying for those who are homeless, like this man kneeling on the side of the road. We should be praying for those who feel totally abandoned, those who are just counting the minutes until they die. We should be praying for all those who are mourning for loved ones, and really praying and drawing near in our prayer, and not just listening them as a group of people in need. Because it's when we start with those prayers that when we do encounter, we're much prompter to act. And then the third way we're called to draw near is what St. Paul does in today's first reading to the letter to the Galatians. Most of his letters start off with praise and prayer, compliment for the communities to whom he is writing. Today he starts off with a tremendous castigation. He reproves the Galatians. We're going to see why as we study his letter over the next couple of weeks. But he gives them a fraternal correction. I'm amazed that you're so quickly forsaking the one who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Not that there's another. But you've listened to those who are perverting Christ's gospel. Some of the times we're good Samaritans by correcting people. We're going down the wrong path. The Galatians were going down the path that we're saved not by grace, not by Jesus. We're saved by our own works of the law. St. Paul wanted to say, no, we're always saved by God. It's because of that salvation that we're freely received and because of the grace God always gives us that we're able to do the law. Likewise, it's very important for us to understand today as we ponder the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus is not asking us by our own heroic efforts apart from Him to cross the road and care for others. He wants to fill us with Himself, fill us with His own divine life, so that together with Him we can cross that road and care for others just as He has cared for us. Sometimes, too, one of the most important ways we're going to be charitable toward somebody else is when they're in the ditch of their own misunderstandings with regard to God and the moral law, or in the pit of sin, when they've got so many self-inflicted wounds by the mistakes they've made, that one of the things that they need is someone patiently to show them back to the proper path. Today, on the feast of St. Rose, Marie-Rose de Roucher, the feast of St. Bruno, we ask the Lord to fill us with this threefold compassion so that we might recognize everybody's our neighbor. And as the Lord strengthens us here by His own very word and His own very presence within, He's doing so precisely so that we, as His mystical body, can become His hands, His feet, His heart, drawing near to all those who need Him and will receive Him uniquely through our charity. If you wish to go to heaven, and who of us doesn't, do this and you will live.